And we're continuing our series in Luke, and today we look at Luke's account of the resurrection. I just want to read some of it, but we're going to be looking at most of Luke 24, so if you have it before you, it might be helpful. But we read this account on that first Easter morning. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Notice Luke calls him now Lord Jesus. Death has proved who he was. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves and went away, wondering into himself what had happened. And this morning, I don't know whether you are wondering what has happened. What is Easter all about? Do you really believe in Easter? Now, I came across these recently from newsletters, from news sheets across various churches, some mistakes that appeared, and I love this one, the Lord's Prayer, in one of those news sheets says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from email." I think that may be a good prayer, actually. Another publication said, the meeting will begin with prayer. Not begin with prayer, begin with prayer. I don't know whether you would turn up to that prayer meeting or not with that one. And then Christmas carols, come and join us for a pint, traditional festive carol singing, reading and mice pies with All Saints Church. Not sure whether you would turn up for mice pies or not. And then perhaps the biggest glitch of all. Praise be to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you destroyed our life. And though we laugh at some of these mistakes, the question is, do we really understand what the death and resurrection of Jesus is about? Do we really understand the life that the resurrection of Jesus gives us? Because I don't think the women did. I don't think the women in this account really understood what Jesus being the Messiah was all about. We read that they went very early in the morning. They went very early in the morning with the spices that they had prepared. Now, my first question as I read this passage is, why on earth were they going with the spices that they had prepared? It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, because actually we read that the evening of the Good Friday, that these same women accompanied Joseph and Nicodemus, and they saw that Nicodemus, John tells us, actually gave 70 pounds of spices which they wrapped the body of Jesus in. So the first question I ask is, why are these women, when they've seen where the body of Jesus was, where they've seen that it was wrapped, it was washed, it was wrapped, and 70 pounds, which is an awful lot of spices, was put round the body, why did they feel the need to prepare more spices, get up as early as they could, and take them to the tomb? I don't know why. Well, the obvious reason is why spices are used is, if I can put it bluntly, because death stinks. Death smells. And actually, what we want to do, and part of our humanity, is that we want to cover up death. We don't want to have to smell death. Because death smells. it stings. And those of us who've experienced death of loved ones know how it separates and how it smells and how it leaves us with that bad smell in us and how it separates and how it's a dreadful thing. But death is more than just physical death. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible tells us that God says, if you take of this, in dying you will surely die. Because death is all around us. That's the consequence of a life rebelled from God, is that there is death all around us. And I'm sure we can all smell the smell of death, whether it's in toxic relationships, whether it's in arguments, whether it's in the greed that we see all around us, whether it's in the pollution and the messed up world and the creation falling apart. We smell death. And it stinks. But we're very good at covering it up, aren't we? We're very good at trying to make life smell good. And maybe, am I allowed to say this? Maybe the women went to the tomb because they thought the men had made a hash of it. Maybe they thought they hadn't covered it up really well and they needed to cover it up properly. Because we try and cover up the smell of death because it stinks. And this morning, I don't know what you're trying to cover up. I don't know what you're trying to cover up. If there's a smell of death in your life, in your relationships, in your work, or whether you're just appalled by what's happening in the creation around us, or whether the greed and the selfishness. It stinks, doesn't it? But we try and cover it up. And that's not a bad thing. But perhaps the other reason that the women went is because actually they recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. They recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, and they knew from Psalm 16 about the Messiah. There is a prophecy about the Messiah in Psalm 16, because we read in verse 9, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." They knew that the Messiah would not see decay. So if Jesus really was the Messiah, we better make sure his body doesn't decay. And so though Nicodemus and Joseph had covered up them with these spices, we believe he was the Messiah, and we're going to go and make sure that this body doesn't decay, because God may come, and God may restore all creation. He may come and bring about his kingdom, and we need to keep this body from decaying until then. I think that's really what they were doing. But they misunderstood what God was and who Jesus was and what the Messiah would have to do. Because actually when they got to the tomb, there was no smell. When they got to the tomb, there was no need of spices. They'd misunderstood what the Messiah would do, that he would die and he would rise again, and that there would be new creation, new life. And they misunderstood it. They got it wrong. And they were trying to preserve this life, but they hadn't actually understood that the death and resurrection of Jesus was the smell of God's life that we needed to experience. And so therefore, when we come to the empty tomb, we may come trying to cover up the death and the grief and the selfishness and the tensions and the relationship issues and the world issues. We may come with that and we come to try and cover it up, but we come to an empty tomb which has conquered that, where there is no decay, where there is new life that will never decay. Ephesians 5:2, and I think there comes up on the screen, Ephesians 5:2 tells us that Jesus loved us and gave his life as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Because what the resurrection of Jesus means is that there is no decay, but there is a fragrance of life. And that fragrance of life tells us three things, or four things. Firstly, it tells us that God loves us, that Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. Because the death of Jesus, proved by the resurrection, firstly is showing that God loves. That God loves you. God loves the world. This is the proof that his sacrifice, his death on the cross, was God showing his love. Showing he does care. Now, how many of you buy your loved ones perfume? I think I only ever bought my wife perfume once, and that was just before her wedding day. Chanel number 5. There we are. Because I love. And the first thing about the death and resurrection of Jesus is the question once and for all is answered. Jesus loves us. God loves the world. God loves you. God cares. And this morning, whatever is going on in your life, whatever you're thinking, know the fact that the death and resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus was God, that he died and he rose again, is a fragrant offering to show you that God loves. God loves this world, and he hasn't ignored it, he hasn't forgotten it, he isn't angry at it, he loves. The second thing we know is that he gave himself as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were made when the people sinned. And those sacrifices were made so that they could be forgiven of those sins and so God could overlook it. And we read that as in the Old Testament, as these sacrifices went up to God, they were like an aroma pleasing to God. The sacrifice was accepted. God had forgiven. And this aroma of Christ, there is no decay, but there is the smell of love, but there's also the smell of forgiveness of sins. That actually all our sins are forgiven. They're wiped out. God has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus, and he's proved he's accepted it by raising him from the dead. The sweet smell of God's acceptance that all sins are forgiven. The sins that cause the brokenness and the death and the dying and the stink and the greed and the selfishness, they have all been forgiven. As far as the east is far from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. The smell of sins forgiven. Do you need to receive that this morning? To know that God is not against you. Whatever you've done, however you've messed up, however far you've gone away, that God has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. The third thing, Amy Jo, have we got it? The third thing about smell is that actually we know that for the Jew, and certainly within the temple, what did they used to burn within the tabernacle? Incense. And if it hasn't all died out, we've got some incense coming in. And you'll see that it's a very sweet smelling but pungent smell. Is it smelling? Not really, oh dear. Okay, well we'll leave it here. You might smell it. I left it outside because it can be quiet. Maybe. Okay. Is it? We'll leave it here. Yeah, it will be coming. Now we've put it back on. And you'll see that the smell, and you will smell it soon. And the idea was that actually the incense before God was the prayers. The prayers of the people, that God would hear their prayers, that God will be with them, that God will answer them. And the resurrection of Jesus means that we're told that Jesus ever lives to intercede. To pray for us. And so the smell of incense, I'm sure, reminds us that actually because Jesus rose again, he is at the right hand of God and he is interceding, he is praying for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever trials, whatever difficulties, whatever struggles, Jesus is praying to you. And that's why we pray in the name of Jesus, because actually it is Jesus that brings our prayers because he is interceding for us and we can approach him boldly. And therefore, that's how we can know the resurrection life, because as we come in prayer, as we come with our struggles and our failures, as we come with our old life still hanging on, as we pray, Jesus intercedes and the resurrection life comes to us. And finally, life smells, real life. The roses, the flowers smell, a fragrant offering. Smell is very much linked to our emotions and our memory. And as we experience the life of God, what does Psalm 16 tells us? Psalm 16 says he shows us the paths of life and fills us with joy in his presence. That's the life of God within us. That's the resurrection, that we have the path of life to eternal life, but also the joy of the presence of God now. That is the life that is ours, and it becomes a fragrant offering that changes those around. As we live out that life, we become salt and light. They tell me recently that a train company has discovered that if they put their carriages with a lemon smell in, the carriages are left cleaner. That people take their rubbish, they take their smells away with them. Because smell affects us. And the life of Jesus, when we become Christians, the resurrection life comes to us. And it should change us. And the things and the habits that aren't pleasing to God, the things that are messing up our relationships and messing up our world and the selfish and greed, that changes. We find that we change. And we find that those around us change as well. That is the life. That is what the resurrection is about. God loves us. God has sacrificed us so our sins are forgiven, that we can know God. That our prayers, that Jesus is praying for us, and we can know his life in those daily circumstances. And this new life is holy and it changes us and those around us. That's the resurrection life. There is no more decay. There is no more stink. There is no more smell. There is life and there is joy in the presence of God. Christ is risen. But the women still didn't get it. And they needed more than the empty tomb to understand what was going on. And as you think about the resurrection, I don't know, as you think about all this, whether it begins to make sense to you, but for these women it didn't, because they needed something else. They needed an angel. And you might think you need an angel this morning to prove this to you. Because the angel came and then they saw the angel and then the angel spoke to them. And the angel spoke to them even though they were frightened and said, "He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." Then they remembered his words. And what does this tell me? That these women needed an angel, and maybe you think you need an angel, but these words tell me you don't need an angel. You need to remember. You need his words. You need to hear. And if you want to make sense of the resurrection, you need to remember the words of Jesus. We read later on, as we'll come across, on the road to Emmaus when they met Jesus. Jesus unpacked the scriptures. How it told them how the Christ must suffer, how he must die and be raised to life again. The whole of scripture is pointing to Jesus' death and his resurrection as the way to the kingdom of God, the way to the new life, the way that finally the smell of death can totally be removed and taken away. That's the whole point. And the resurrection makes sense of all that God has done. It makes sense of the Garden of Eden and the fall. It makes sense of the prophecies that God will overcome. It makes sense of the Exodus, that there will be a new Exodus that will completely bring about freedom to all people. It makes sense of the exile and that God will bring his people back to restore his kingdom. It makes sense of everything, that the Jews were meant to be a light for all nations, because this is good news for all people. It makes sense of the whole of Scripture, and you don't need angels. You need his word. you need the Bible. And if you want to make sense of the resurrection, if you're not sure, can I suggest that you get in and hear the words of Jesus? Read the Gospels. Because the smell may not be enough, but you may need to hear. And you don't need angels. You need the words of Jesus. But wouldn't it even be better? Wouldn't it be even better? Not if you just didn't look and see this Easter, the smell of Easter. Not even hear the words of Easter. Hear how the whole of Scripture is about the resurrection of Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if you could see Jesus here this morning? Wouldn't that remove all doubt? Wouldn't that remove all fear? Wouldn't that allow you to experience all life? Well, not according to Luke 24. Because after the women had seen this, and we read in the other accounts that these women had actually seen Jesus, we read of a disciple, let's call him Cleo. It's easier to say. Cleo. Now, who was this Cleo? We don't really know much about him, but scholars think probably he was the husband of Mary. Mary, one of the women who had gone with the spices and seen the tomb. Mary, who probably actually had met Jesus, risen. And we have Cleo here, probably the husband of Mary, with an unnamed person, which I think is probably Mary, his wife. And they had had enough. They were confused. They were wondering. They didn't know about what this all meant. And so they left Jerusalem and went on a 7-mile walk, probably home. I can imagine Cleo arguing and his wife saying, "We've got to go home. Let's go home. I've had enough of this." And his wife said, "But I've seen Jesus. He's alive. I've had enough of this. Let's go home." I don't know how many of you are married to spouses who have a greater faith than you. Maybe you've been dragged along here today. Well, can I suggest you're a bit like Cleo? You're wondering. You don't quite know. It doesn't quite fully make sense to you. Yeah, your other half talks about Jesus and his resurrection and his life and how it's changed everything, but it doesn't make any sense to you. And so you drag them away. And here Cleo is dragged away. And as he walks away from Jerusalem, the place where they were meant to remain to see Jesus and to receive his Holy Spirit, as they walk away, they see Jesus. Jesus comes alongside them. Jesus appears. Surely that will change everything. Surely Cleo will fall down and worship and say, "My Lord and my God, this is it." Luke writes this to say that even seeing Jesus won't necessarily convince you. Because we read here that they were kept from seeing Jesus because their hearts were hard. Their hearts were hard. And they were kept from seeing Jesus. And so they walked with Jesus. Walked away from where they should be going, running away from the center of the action, running away from the opportunity to meet Jesus and experience his life by the Holy Spirit, running away. And Jesus came and met them. But they didn't recognize. Jesus was explaining the whole of Scripture to them and how this person, this Messiah, had to die and had to be rise again. And they kept on walking further and further away, a journey of 7 miles. The more and more he talked, their hearts were hardened and they didn't see Jesus because seeing Jesus isn't enough. And finally, Jesus went away to go on when they reached, which I think is their home. And it was getting dark and they insisted that Jesus came and shared a meal with them. And as they sat down at the meal, we read that Jesus took bread. And as he broke it, we read their eyes were opened. They saw Jesus. And he disappeared. Did they recognize Jesus because of the breaking of bread? Did they recognize Jesus because as he held out his hands, they saw the nail-pierced hands? Or did they suddenly have their hearts softened? Did they suddenly allow their hearts to see who this Jesus was? And in that breaking of the bread, they suddenly saw that Jesus was broken for them, that they may have his life. And as they tasted, they believed in Jesus. Surely Luke tells us this, to say that seeing angels won't convince you, you've got the Bible. Seeing Jesus himself may not be enough, because it's a question of the heart. The heart that is affected by the smell. The emotions are affected by what we smell on this Easter morning. Do we smell the love of God? Do we smell the sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins? Do we smell that Jesus is interceding? He's praying for you. And this morning he's praying for you to meet him and to see him and have your heart open to him. Are you seeing this new resurrection life? This isn't just of the same order as what everyone else is living. This is something new. There's no omissions here. This is the life of God, the eternal life, which overcomes sin, which overcomes the pollution of sin, that overcomes the partition that death can bring, the separation from God, that overcomes the greed, that overcomes and changes everything. Do you smell it? And does it touch your heart? Does it touch your heart? Because if it touches your heart, it changes you. Because what do we read? That Cleo, as he had his heart touched as he met Jesus, Cleo, though it was getting dark, though it was being dangerous to walk this road back to Jerusalem, as soon as they met Jesus, he knew where he had to be. He knew he couldn't stay in Emmaus, because Jesus wasn't going to be there. The Spirit wasn't going to be there. He needed to run back to Jerusalem to be with the other disciples. And I believe this is God's word for some of you here this morning. You've wandered away. You know, you've smelt it, you've wandered, you've heard the story, you know the resurrection of Jesus, but you've sort of wandered, you've given up, and you've stopped smelling the smell, and you've wandered away and said, I need to get away. This resurrection morning, Jesus is praying for you. This resurrection morning, as we break this bread and drink this cup, we believe the presence of Jesus is here. We do not need to see him, but our hearts can feed on him. Our hearts can know him as we see him in the breaking of bread and the blood shed. And we can encounter the life of Jesus afresh. And when we encounter the life of Jesus afresh, as you meet Jesus here afresh this morning, can I encourage you not to stay in Emmaus, but run back. Run as fast as you can back into a church family. Run as fast as you can into a place where the Spirit of God is going to be, where the Spirit of God is going to be there week by week. Run as fast as you can back to a living and a community of followers of Jesus, because that's what this story is about. We are not going to have angels, sorry to tell you. You're not going to physically see Jesus, sorry to tell you that. But you don't need that. You can smell the life of Jesus. You've got the Word of God, the living Word of God. And as we break the bread and drink the cup in the community of believers, Jesus is here. Softened now. And you need to run back to the community of God. That's the Easter message. How far are you from Jerusalem? How many miles have you wandered? How much do you know the Easter story? Has it lost its smell? Has it lost its smell? Well, come, as we break this bread and drink this cup, smell again. Soften your hearts. Know the resurrection life of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. then make sure you run back into a community of God, whether that's here, whether that's somewhere else. I don't really mind, but you need to run back and be part of a place, Spirit of God is, where you can meet Jesus, know him better. That's the Easter story. Don't try and cover up the stink in your life, the stink in our world anymore. Let's allow the fragrance of Jesus in.